Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning. This is 11:29:20. This is a teaching. We're learning to flow in the supernatural. This is going to be a little different this morning. It's a long title. Coming out of taking care of yourself, stockpiling mentality. Coming out of the taking care of yourself, stockpiling mentality. All right, let's go to Matthew 6. We'll start verse 24 here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So, we see here clearly defined the two masters. It's God and Satan. When we care for ourselves, we serve Satan. You remember the Care Bear snare? When we live carefree with total dependence on our Heavenly Father, we serve Him. Care depends on the system. We have really been under the Care Bear snare system, socialism, for a long time. In fact, it's been the system, it's been the God of this world system from the fall. We have just been blinded to the fact that we're actually free when we have not been. We as a society take care about everything. We work all our lives to stockpile money that in some cases we're never even able to enjoy it. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. All right, Luke 12. Start with verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? One thing I'd like to point out about Jubilee. In Jubilee, you could sell property to somebody, but at the year of Jubilee, it came back to the original owner. Now think about that. I'm not so sure in Nasara if that will happen. It goes back to the original owner. What was Jesus saying here? Huh? I mean, what's he? Well, we'll just keep reading. All right. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Try to tell my grandchildren, because they've got grandparents that dish out on them pretty good, that it's not about what you get in life, it's what you give. Getting a hold of that principle. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Well, let me read 16 again. And he speaketh a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's why our world is facing the place that it's facing, and why we have these horrible swamp creatures that are, all they care about is money. The love of money is the root to all evil. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Then he goes on to the passage I just read you in Luke about, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And then he goes on about talking about the bird, how he took care of Solomon. And how even the lilies of the field are arrayed more beautifully than Solomon. Okay? All right. Toil, toil, toil. It's all about the system. The system we're in. Toil. In Genesis 3, after the fall of man, this is what happened. He came under the curse. Well, that's the other master. Verse 17 of chapter 3. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So it shows man here working all his life and dropping dead. That was the curse. This left man in a sorry state. But what did God do for the man? What was his original state? We're going to look at that. Going over to backtrack to chapter 2. Verse 7. Well, really, let's go up to 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Now the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did the man plant the trees? No, God did, it says. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that it is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's Bedlam, and there's onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that it is which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the river, fourth river in Euphrates. You know where the Hiddekel is? Babylon. That's where Daniel was when he had the vision. The Garden of Eden became Babylon instead of heaven on earth. But look what God said. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So how did he keep the garden? Spoke. He called things that be not as though they were, like God did. Wasn't toil, not until he fell, not until he transgressed God's commandment. All right, I'm thankful today for the reset that is coming. This is part of the coming out of the Egypt process. Getting rid of the thinking of the world system, which the thinking of the God of this world and his agenda, which is included in all that, with the implementation of Nisera Jesera, will cause men to renew their minds to God's provision, just like the man in the beginning. Now I want to read to you Nisera, the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. Forgives credit card, mortgage, and other bank debt due to illegal banking and government activities. Abolishes income tax. Well, really all taxes as far as I'm concerned. Abolishes the IRS. Creates a flat rate, non-essential, new items only sales tax revenue for government. Increases benefits to senior citizens. Returns constitutional law. Establishes new presidential and congressional elections within 120 days after Nisera's announcement. Monitors elections and prevents illegal election activities of special interest groups. We all, you know, about what's going on right now. Creates new U.S. Treasury currency, rainbow currency, backed by gold, silver, and platinum precious metals. Returns constitutional law to all courts and legal matters. Initiates new U.S. Treasury banking system in alignment with constitutional law. Eliminates the Federal Reserve system. Restores financial privacy. Retrains all judges and attorneys in constitutional law. Which basically, you know what constitutional law is? It's common law. It's like, well, you don't kill me, I don't kill you. You don't hurt me, I don't hurt you. It's living in peace with your brother. It's doing as to others as you the royal law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Ceases all aggression. U.S. government military actions worldwide. Establishes peace throughout the world. Initiates first phase of worldwide prosperity. Distribution of vast wealth, which has been accumulating for many decades. Releases enormous sums of money for humanitarian purposes. Enables the release of new technology such as alternative energy sources. So what does that do? It renews man's mind to get his mind off himself. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Always taking thought about this, taking a thought about that. Stockpiling for themselves. It gets your mind off of that to God's provision. All the gold, this gold that we're getting is Solomon's gold. God made Solomon rich. Some comes from the Philippines, some comes from different places. But I'm telling you, God laid this up for his children. The wealth of the sinner has been laid up for the righteous. And this is meant to have been ours all along. Because he wanted us to walk like it was before the fall. His total and complete provision, without any lack. We never give a thought to our needs, but we're always on the alert about helping somebody else. See the switch? For people that are just saying, well, my mortgage is going to be paid off and all this, my bills are going to be paid off. When do I get my gold? They probably won't get much with that kind of attitude. Like I said, I'd heard a deal where those who have the attitude, they want to help people. More money will be allotted to them to help people. Mm-hmm. Talking about these humanitarian causes. There's a lot of people fall through the cracks in this country. The elderly are as one bunch of them. Our vets are another. Our first responders, you know, law enforcement, and different ones like that, that put their life on the line. One of the confessions I make is that these people, these sportsters and Hollywood stars, they're getting that money ripped away from them, and we're going to give them to the people that lay their life on the line for us. They should be getting the big bucks. Do you see the total mindset change? Okay. gets better. God is wanting us to change our thinking processes from always trying to fend for ourselves to being taken care of. I don't mind being a kept woman. My Father keeps me. We, like the children of Israel, under the lash, the bondage, the slavery of the system. But our day of deliverance is here. Father's care is the way of the kingdom. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. All right, when Jesus came, he taught us the ways of the kingdom. We're going to look at that, one in Matthew, one in Luke, and one in John. First one's Matthew chapter 14. Keep your finger in Matthew 14. The Lord just quickened something else to me. Ecclesiastes. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes right quick, and I want you to keep that in your mind as we go forward, because I'll pick up with it a little bit later in the teaching, but I don't want to forget that he quickened this. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now this is part of kingdom operation. When you're one that's always thinking about sowing, everywhere you go, you sow, instead of always looking for what you can get. You're sowing. This is what you're going to draw upon when you operate in the kingdom. We're going to see this as we go forward. Okay, now, back to Matthew 14. Just a minute. I'm going to write that down. Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said to him, we have here but five loaves and two fish. We know what system they're of. And he said, bring them hither to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. What happened? Somebody sowed. Okay. Just hang with me. You'll see it. All right. Luke 5. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Now, Peter sowed his boat, right? And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. All right, let's keep going. John 21. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Back to the old grind. Going back to the old grind. Jesus died. You know, he's not here no more, so we're just going to have to go back to the way things used to be. What's that about? Simon said to him, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered his ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Old Peter sure knew about returning to the vomit, didn't he? He talked about it in 2 Peter, about the dog returns to the vomit and the sow that's been washed to the mud. That old thinking process, back to this is the way we used to do it, taking care of ourselves. When Jesus was here, he took care of us, but whenever he was gone, we just go back to business as usual. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That other is 2 Peter 2. Our focus is to be on kingdom provision and not beating the bushes on trying to find a way to take care of ourselves. Many years ago, only happened this once, when Danny took a job. If I get this wrong, just pretend it's right, okay? Many years ago, only happened this once, when Danny took a job for money, I'm reading it so I don't get it wrong. Instead of letting the Lord make the call, he was only at this job about a year, and he let go because he didn't seek the Lord about it. He took the money over, right? Seeking the Lord about it. Okay. He stayed home. Wait a minute. All right, after about a year at the job, he got let go. All right. He stayed home. Thankfully, God provided me a temporary job, and he started putting out resumes, beating the bushes for jobs.
The first week.
Beat the bushes. Then the Lord spoke to him and told him to not seek a job, but to seek him. Now, I had a job, not enough to make any much money, but I had a job. Thankfully, I got to work for those weeks that he was off. So for the next 6 or 7 weeks, that is what he did. On one day, the Lord gave me a word for him. I said, on Tuesday, you are going to get a job offer and you are to take it. Do you remember that? Yeah. He did, and it was not as much money as before, but nonetheless, he was working. I believe that was a test because he had to take a job. He had taken a job for money, and he didn't ask the Lord. So the Lord was having him take a job that didn't make as much money for him to realize you need to follow God. All right, when you have debt and needs, money usually begins to take place of God in your life. I believe the reason the Lord spoke to me is for him to take the first one. The first job that manifests, take the first one.
Right.
Other offers maybe could have been better. You could have said, well, maybe I better hold out. How many did you have?
He said, take the first job that manifests, and then I'll show you the next step. I took the first job that manifested. I went to work on a Monday, and the next 3 days, I got job offers from people that I'd sent resumes out to, people calling me wanting to hire me. And I stayed where I was at.
So he could have taken, said, well, I'll get back with you, you know, and all these offers come in. Okay. That's where you come to this attitude of more, 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 more. Walking in the Spirit, we talked about covetousness.
It was 2 more years before the Lord showed me the next step, too.
Yeah, well, there was a reason for it. Well, let's go to Matthew 17. Now, I remember having a word of knowledge about next, I think it was on a Tuesday, he got the call. Was it a Tuesday? Seems like I remember it was a Tuesday, saying, you're going to get a call on Tuesday. And he did. All right, this is Matthew 17:24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto them, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free? I'm sure Peter was thinking, where in the world am I going to get the tax money? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. So, the first fish. What if he'd waited till a bigger fish come along? Well, you know, if there's a bigger, there might be bigger, more money in it. God and mammon. Which master? All right, he told him to take up the bigger, pick the first fish, not the biggest fish. All right. For those that walk in the Spirit, provision comes from a different realm. Sometimes it seems to appear out of nowhere, but just like when Jesus fed the multitudes, it was divine supply. I'm issuing you a warning here today, and the Lord wants you to get this, as He was giving me this. If we don't, it will extend our training, and our training has been so hard at times. You want to make this short? You best do it His way. He wants us to follow the Spirit and abandon the fleshly way so He can bless us like He wants to. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 44. I told you it's going to be a little different today. If you have problems with it, you just have to listen to it over and over till you get it. Ezekiel 44. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. The Lord don't like your sweat. He hates it. He didn't make you to sweat. But when the curse happened, the sweat of His brow, He said you'd eat by the sweat of your brow. Okay, the Lord says to not get greedy. Isn't that what happened when they heaped up the manna? We looked at that couple of weeks ago, Exodus chapter 16. The point of the manna was for them to gather enough for one day, and they tried to heap it up. And when it heaped up, it stunk. Made Moses mad. The only time that they could gather extra was whenever they were supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. They were together enough for 2 days, and it didn't go bad. Supernatural divine supply. And what was really cool about it was, didn't matter how much they gathered, it was just enough. Every person ate till they were satisfied. Okay, Galatians, we looked at Galatians 5 and the walk of the flesh and the walk of the spirit. God does not want us giving in to the flesh because, you know, isn't it usually all about money or provision or something that gets us out of sorts in the first place? That's where we start getting in the flesh. We start worrying about things. We start looking at the problems. And we start carrying the care. We start taking it on ourselves. And we start sweating. All right, go over to Ephesians 4 now. Verse 17. Therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. So it has to do with their mindsets. It has to do with what we, it's like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They had those mindsets and most could not seem to come out of those mindsets. Even when God supernaturally provided for them, the next thing that come along, they were griping about, we need to go back to Egypt. Egypt was better. It took care of us. We always had the flesh pots. When we put our sweat to it, it's like we are saying God is not enough. Right? Okay, James chapter 1. The way this kingdom operates is we cannot be double-minded. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What happened in the wilderness? Every time they faced something, they started complaining against Moses, complaining against God, blaming this one, blaming that one. This says, when you fall into divers temptations, to count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That's the goal, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So God wants to grant divine supply, but we cannot lean to the ways of the world. This back and forth, it won't work that way. It just won't work. The kingdom way is a drawing nigh to God and resisting the devil and that kingdom, that master. No, I'm not going to go there in my mind. God's my provider. All right, James 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. God will bring the increase, but only when he knows that you can handle it properly. I was thinking about the movie Mr. Mom when the little kid, he handed the little kid the $100 to keep, safe keep, and he took, the other brother took it out of his hand and said, "You better let me handle it. Money makes him crazy." There's just people just have problems with money and they have a hard time handling it. And you'd be best not to handle it. You know, because you know what it says about money. The love of it's a fruit of all evil. Our problem is that our thinking processes have been hijacked by Satan's propaganda. I want to bring you some examples. They are on a different subject, but I think it proves the point. Our thinking processes have caused us to walk in the flesh. A renewed mind helps us walk in the Spirit. And some of it is by experience. We're going to touch on the area of food because these scriptures, Jesus is kind of dealing with food, but really he's not just dealing with food. He's talking about thinking processes. And we've read these scriptures many times and we'll keep reading them until we get it, okay? Matthew 15. Matthew 15:11. Now the God of this world has made us believe that everything, we've got to watch everything you eat, lest you get something that's not good for you, something that'll hurt you, something that'll harm you, right? Pretty well our medical system and all of that, it's all about that. Jesus said, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Talk about what you produce. Loose lips sink ships. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Well, I tell you what. If the whole world heard this message this morning, there'd be a whole lot of offended people. Probably a lot of them thinking, "Well, there went my income. There went my business. Big pharma. Exercise industry. Holistic medicine industry." But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." See, the Word of God, our heavenly Father has to root out what has been planted in us by the evil one. "And let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." If you can't prove that by this COVID crud, and the sheer falsity of it all, and the way people are acting. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? In and out. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." They become dangerous when they begin under. Life comes, production comes out of the heart, with the heart. It becomes dangerous when it's from the heart, because you can actually speak it and get it. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." Not about your hand sanitizer. It's about what you're thinking and what you're speaking. All right, Mark 7. This is huge, like the president says, huge. U-G-E, huge. I saw a meme yesterday where the president was going huge, and it was going huge, words, huge. Like, this is huge. Verse 14. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, that's the production center, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Everything that goes into you gets purged. This system has been made. Your system has been made to purge. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We was trying to talk to our granddaughter that's an RN, and she takes care of COVID patients from time to time. And we were trying to talk to her about it being psychosomatic. She said, well, I don't know. You know, she said, I don't know. I see how sick they are. And I said, well, you know, you can convince anybody of anything. And they'll believe it. And then they'll have the symptoms. She said, well, yeah, I can believe that. See, that's Satan's game. He messes with your mind, trying to get you to believe these things. And when you do, you'll speak it. That's a problem. Somebody has symptoms about something, and all of a sudden they're speaking it out of their mouth, and their symptoms are getting worse, and then they get scared, and all, you know the cycle. Instead of submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right, I'm going to read a little. This is from the book, Way Down. She has a master's degree in nutrition, from what I understand. But anyway, just a few things to help you understand this. All foods are composed of primarily water, proteins, carbohydrates, fats, and trace tiny amounts of vitamins and minerals. Proteins and carbohydrates and fats are made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Proteins add nitrogen to their chemical structures. The Environmental Protection Agency, as well as the Food and Drug Administration, regulate and monitor pesticide use and residues in conventional foods. The real question is, will grocery store food harm you, as some have claimed? Well, here is how it works. Our Heavenly Creator has made our bodies to detect and rid themselves of harmful chemicals that are not part of the normal dietary process. Hypothetically, let us say your toddler accidentally puts dirt into his mouth. His stomach would be the first place that would detect harmful bacteria or chemicals. The stomach may throw it back up and out of the body. Most harmful bacteria would be destroyed in the very acidic stomach fluids. I know the Lord showed me that about it hits acid. If harmful substances gets past the stomach and into the intestines, then the body might trigger diarrhea to rid the body. Nothing can get into your bloodstream until it passes through the intestinal wall. This wall is amazingly selective and specific for what the body wants. It is almost impossible for a foreign or harmful substance to make it past this barrier because it does not have a gator code to get through. So it stays in the intestines and just passes. But let us say that something foreign or bad did make its way in, then the liver acts as a super filter and traps it and breaks the chemical apart, rendering it harmless. The now clean filtered blood goes through the hepatic vein and it is then disseminated. Just think, your child might have been watching a movie while all of this was going on, oblivious to the safeguards at each level of entry. So if you choose the more expensive foods, organic foods, Do not count on them being toxin-free. The best way to protect yourself is to thoroughly rinse all your raw foods, fresh with, you know, fruits and vegetables with water. Once again, this all supports the fact that so much of the worry is unnecessary because our bodies have already been safeguarded by God in this amazingly created human body. Jesus pretty well said that. There's not anything possible. And he said, shall lay hands on sick, shall recover. If you drink any day of the thing, it won't hurt you. That mean all better gear up. No, he was telling you this is already exist. With that said, do not be afraid to trust that your body can cue you to what it needs and sense the need for protection and the appropriate substances with the appropriate amounts is all taken care of by our genius chemist. Eat what your body is craving, for who of you by worrying could add a single hour to his life? God has pre-programmed us to crave a variety of foods. We do not have to count calories, points, or fat grams for good health. And another thing that she was basically saying too, I did not copy this off, is the simple fact that since all foods, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's Fritos, if it's Twinkies, broccoli, whatever, it is comprised of these components. All food is made up of these components. So whatever you're eating, if you eat a variety, she said you don't need vitamins. She talks about how people become toxic by vitamins and they're putting stuff in that your body can't naturally assimilate anyway. You know how many people I spent a lot of money on that kind of stuff for many years. Okay. Let's carry on. All right, continued. All foods have varying combinations of these six units. I copied that part. Carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, vitamins, minerals, and water. Your main need is for energy or fuel to run the body. That's the purpose of eating. We have made selecting foods something intended by God to be enjoyable into something complicated and burdensome and worrisome. The food industry has picked up on our fears and has capitalized on them. The beast system equals killing, stealing, and destroying. The kingdom way is life, and that more abundantly. And this is what the Lord said to me. This is the clincher. We're going to read a passage of scripture, and then we'll be finished. Instead of stockpiling, the Lord said, use the oil and the meal principle. Now, I'm going to read that to you, and I'm going to explain a little further. This is 1 Kings chapter 17. Just remember, it's easier to move a running car than a parked car. I'm going to begin with verse 1 here. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So he, no rain. That means no crops. But Lord provided for him. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You're going, say what? Just go bum off some poor old widow woman? Arise, get thee there to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me up, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. So what little she had in her hand, she sewed, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So this is what the Lord said to me. As I lead you, move forward and dip in the cruse of oil and in the barrel of meal, and you will have enough. In other words, what the Lord was saying to me, you're always saying you'd like to do this, and you'd like to do that, and you'd like to do this, you'd like to do that, but you don't have these stockpiles of money to do it. Always waiting on when the house is paid off, or when this is paid off, or when that. Get what I'm saying? When you use what you have, it will be enough. Stop waiting for the stockpile before you will do anything. The kingdom way is the way of divine supply, not storing and heaping up. This is the manna principle at work. You learn to depend on me and not on what you can do. It's the step release program. Like you just got an inkling about, well, start moving in that direction in that project. You start stepping out. And as you go, the funds come. Instead of waiting for the stockpile of funds to come. I know that's hard to hear today, but it's the truth. There's one other passage that I did not read that I need to. Maybe I didn't get it down on my paper. Let me look here. Do you know where it is about the guy that builds the barns?
It's over in Luke. I think you were right there close to it today where he said...
I just didn't read the rest of it, I guess. Was it 14? Let me look.
You were right there by...
Is it 12?
Where'd you read in Luke?
I had Luke chapter 12. And then I read in Luke 5, or did I? No, it's 12. It'd have to be 12. Did I read that to y'all? I'll read it again. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 13.
Okay, right here it is. Chapter 12.
I know.
Go over here to...
I'm already there.
Verse 16.
Yeah, verse 16. I read the first two, and I didn't complete it because we were talking about inheritances because right. He was saying, Lord, help me get this inheritance. They need to share with me. You know, it was the... All right, verse 16 of that says, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. So that way we're never limited to the world's resources to move forward and do what we believe we're supposed to do. Because it's like expecting things to appear before we step out in faith. That's what it is. It's stepping out in faith.